Happy Easter resonates. Oh, man. Man, it is so good to see you this morning. And all the campuses joining us, I want to say hello and happy Easter. Traditionally in church, when we say he is risen, you reply?
He is risen indeed.
Okay, more than six of you, let's do it again. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. Yes, we are celebrating the risen Jesus, not just with our campus in Hayward, not just with our campus in Oakland, our family online, but over 2 billion people are gathered together this Sunday worshiping a risen Jesus. And that gets me so emotional. Added to that, we are celebrating today. And will you celebrate with me? Today is the very first launch, a public launch of our Oakland campus, Loving Oakland Today. So man, we love the fact that you are meeting. We love you and we love Pastor Christopher and thankful for all the work that he's going to do and the church is going to do in Loving Oakland with the gospel. Now, with that said, I do want to do this. I want to just celebrate some of the guests that are here today. You might be a guest here, first time at Resonate in any of our campuses. You're like, wow, I didn't know I was going to come to church because I was bribed. Maybe I was duped. My friend offered coffee and donuts, and I didn't know I was going to have them in church. That's not what I thought was going to happen. And you are here today, and you're stuck for the next 30 minutes with me. Therefore, I just want to just warmly welcome you to say that you're loved, you're wanted, and you've been prayed for. So thankful you are here. Hey, all of Resonate family and all of our campuses, can we just celebrate them? All of our guests. Yes. Hey, real quick, if you could get this out, every campus has one, every person got one. Essentially, this is something that we pass out here at Resonate. It says Easter at Resonate. It has your name, it has your email, and I hope that every single person, it doesn't matter if you've been here all 13, 14 years or you've been here, this is your first week, would you just write your name and email? We promise we won't spam you. We promise we won't, like, just give you all these, you know. No, we were not going to do that. What we want to do, though, is we want to ask that you would write a prayer request that on the most hopeful day of the hopeful news that Jesus is alive, that he's not in the grave, that you would, in that spirit, with that hope, write a prayer request, and we will pray for you and anticipate great things to happen. But most importantly, would you just turn to the back? It says, last year, I didn't know how big of a hit it was going to be. And the first question says, I would like to hear a teaching series about. And it just gives you some ideas and subjects and categories. And if you could, just check all that applies. And what I'll do is we'll collect all these cards and we'll look at the survey results. And based on that, we're going to create a sermon series later in the year addressing some of the deepest needs and questions. If you see the other part, you could just, if it doesn't cover the subject that you're thinking about, you could actually write that into. And that would serve us so well. It would lead me and would help me to lead our church better. So would you do that? At worst, there's some empty spaces you could doodle when the sermon gets boring. You could just go ahead and start drawing whatever you want. Go ahead and do that. Now, today, we are looking at the greatest human in history, involving the greatest news in history, and we are joined with 2 billion people around the world worshiping a risen Jesus. More songs have been sung about him. More paintings have been painted of him. More books have been written about him. And the question I want to ask today is, why is he relevant to me today? Why is he relevant? Well, I'll illustrate it this way. Have you ever played chess before? Now, I saw this in a sermon, a pastor that I love actually preached, and I thought it was so apt and so wonderful of an illustration to use. You know, chess is an interesting game, and it's rather a simple game. Yeah, each moves and each pieces have different moves, like the rook and the knight and the bishop moves differently. We have a bunch of pawns here. The queen, it moves differently. But the object of the game is basically to trap the king. That when you move the pieces around and the king is trapped and it has no more moves, then the opponent wins and the opponent says, checkmate, you're done. You have no more moves. All hope is lost. And you know, somebody once said that chess is an incredible analogy to life. And I believe that's so because many of us make decisions in life and realize that we're trapped. In fact, I want to show you this painting. This painting is a painting that was painted about 1,700 years, and it was hanging at the Louvre. And this is an interesting painting. On the left, you see Satan, and he's working his moves to trap the man that represents all of us, and he is in great despair because if you look at the pieces, you will know that it is a checkmate. And so he's done. He has no more hope, and that's why he's in despair. And this is why this painting is actually entitled Checkmate. Now, many of you could identify with that. Maybe perhaps the moves in life and the decisions that you made pin you into a corner where you're like, man, I don't have any more moves left. I am discouraged. I'm pinned back to a place where I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. Maybe some of you are going through a marital checkmate. Yeah, that it's been hard, that it's been a struggle, and yet you finally, your wife turns and says to you, I'm done, I'm leaving. Maybe some of you are going through a financial checkmate, that things have been tight, but all of a sudden, you got laid off from your job. Maybe some of you are going through a health checkmate. Yeah, you've been battling your health for quite some time, and finally you get the medical diagnosis that says, it's terminal. And you're done. No more moves left to make. Checkmate in life. Well, I come today to bear good news, great news, that you might be faced with something impossible, but today we worship a God who does possible things with impossible things. That we worship a God that makes a way when there seems to be no way. In fact, my friend Joby Martin wrote this book. I thought it was great. His title is, If the Tomb is Empty, Anything is Possible. Man, I thought that phrase was so good that we would say it together, okay? Let's say it together. Ready? If the tomb is empty, anything is possible. One more time. If the tomb is empty, anything is possible. And I'm here to say that the tomb is empty. That death is defeated, that sin has been paid for, that Jesus is alive. Amen? Yes. And because he walked out of the tomb, that you could walk out of your tomb too, that chains have been broken, addictions have been solved, relationships have been restored, the blind could see, the lame could walk, and all of your deadness could be made alive in Jesus' name today. That's the hope. And this is why we're here. Now, let me show you when all this came down in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, and it's okay if you don't, because a lot of guests here, Luke 24, and Jesus had been crucified, and he's been raised, and now verse 1, the ladies go in. The first day of the week, early at dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared, in verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body, but the Lord, body of the Lord Jesus. But while they were perplexed about this, they're like, where's the body? Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. They were angels. And they were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. And these men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, this is an incredible question. Basically, essentially, they're asking, why do you seek life in the areas where you can't get life? This is a tomb, it's dead. You can't find life. And many of us are trying to find joy and meaning in places that cannot give us joy and meaning. Many of us are invested in things that will not pay off. You know, if you were to ask my daughter, well, if you could eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? She might say ice cream. Okay, that's a great answer until the second day. You know, if you eat ice cream all the days of your life, you're going to spend all the days of your life in the toilet. I mean, that's pretty much what's going to happen. Why? Because your body is not designed to take that much milk, okay? Your body is actually created so that you need other nutrients. In the same way, your soul is designed in a way where all the things of the world cannot satisfy. So why are you looking at things to draw life from that cannot give you life? And this is what the angels are saying. So verse 6, he's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you, now hold on to that, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and he'll be crucified and on the third day rise. Now this is kind of comical because this is kind of like my life story. I'm like, babe, I'm going to Costco. And she's like, could you get this and this and this for me? I'm like, no problem. Would you write it down? I got it right here. I go to Costco and I'm like, what'd she say again? She must have said computers, lawnmowers, the new shears, right? I blank, and clearly they blank too. They're like, what? The angels are saying, he told you where he was going to be already, right? How'd you miss that? In fact, Jesus warns them three separate times. Could I show you? In fact, in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, look at what Jesus says to the disciples. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and be killed, and on the third day, I'm going to rise. He goes on in Luke 9:44. He says, let these words sink into your ears that the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. And Luke 18:31, it says, everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. So listen. Three times, Jesus warned his disciples, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to be raised again. And this is why the angels are saying, bro, sis, why are you shocked that he is not here? And this is important because, listen, they missed it, and we can too. And I don't want any of us to miss it because it is possible for you to hear all these things and miss the main thing. Because when I look out today, and I trust in all of our campuses, all of us are wearing nicer apparels today for some reason. I mean, might I say that for some of you men, I feel like you showered today. Congratulations, that is amazing. Well, listen, why? Because you know the church game, right? You know on Easter Sunday, somebody's gonna make you take a picture. Right? And you're going to actually take a picture. You're going to be in the nice outfit. Listen, if you know the church game at our church, you know that I only tuck in my shirt 2 days out of the year, Christmas and today. That's the only time you know the church game. Some of you know the church game so well that what you will do even today, and I hope you don't, but you know the game so much that at the last song that we play, you will discreetly walk out. Why? You want to get to the short line of the donuts. You want to get to the shorter line of checking your kids out. I know the game. You know the game. But I'm afraid that somehow we might miss the main thing. You know things. Remember what the Sermon on the Mount Jesus said? He said, now many on the last day will tell me, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I heal people in your name? Didn't we cast demons out? Didn't we worship you in your name? Didn't we? And what did Jesus say? He said, depart from me, for I did not know you. He says that. He says, many will say to me that day. And I'm afraid that a bunch of us know a lot about Jesus. A bunch of us might even do stuff for Jesus. But he says, you miss Jesus. And listen, you can know a lot about Jesus, still miss Jesus. So let me just say it plainly here. At Resonate, the point is not about who preaches or how we sing or the planting of campuses or the great donuts that we have. Indeed, we do. But here's the point that the angel said, that the Son of Man was delivered to the hands of men, and after 3 days, he will rise again. That is the message that Resonate holds to. That is the main thing. Please don't leave this space without getting the main thing. So I hope that you don't come thinking, wow, like this is a cool church, you know? There are some cool people here. I hope you leave thinking, well, I don't know about this church, but today I met Jesus. Today I met Jesus. I got the main thing. That's what the angels are saying. And after the angels point out the main thing to the ladies, they say in verse 9, returning to the tomb, they told all these things to 11 disciples and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, or we might say fake news. It was fake news. And they did not believe them. They did not believe them. So listen, if you have doubts today, you have a lot of doubts, you're like, I don't know about Christianity, somebody dragged me, it's interesting, but I have doubts. Man, they had doubts too. The disciples had doubts. In fact, if you have doubts today, you might make a good disciple eventually. So, but see, Jesus, he doesn't just leave us with doubts. In fact, he addresses them. Look here. Ever notice why the stone was rolled away from the tomb? Do you ever realize why the stone was rolled away? You're like, duh. Well, if you say Jesus is alive, he had to get out, right? No. That's not why the stone was rolled away. I mean, after all, in the same chapter, if you read on a little bit, you'll see that the disciples were huddled together in a house with windows closed, doors locked, and they were fearful because their master, their Messiah, had died. And they're like, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, Jesus goes, Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty, shoot, and just appears in the middle of the room. He didn't climb through a window. He didn't walk through a door. He just appeared. So he didn't need the stone to be moved away for him to get out. Then the question is, why was the stone rolled away? I'll tell you why. It wasn't so that he could get out. It was so that they could see in. It was evidence. They could see in. In fact, some of you might say, well, I don't follow Jesus today because I'm not sure about Christianity. I have questions. And I'll say this, faith is not about answering all of your questions, because I have questions about our faith also. But instead, let me define faith this way. Faith is when the unexplainable meets the undeniable of the resurrection. You see, there are unexplainable things that will remain for all the days of your life. But when that meets the undeniable reality of the resurrection, then that is your faith. And when you start realizing that the resurrection is undeniable, then you start growing. Then you say, I will follow that Jesus. And you're like, Ryan, if he really rose from the dead, I would follow Jesus. But man, I'm not sure if he did. Well, can I tell you, I think that's a fair question. And I think that's something to ponder upon. But in fact, I'll just say that there are over 2 billion people worshiping the resurrected Jesus, and many among them are some of the most brilliant people in this world. I mean, scientists, you know, mathematicians, and philosophers, and astrophysicists, you know. And plus, there are a ton of evidence that we see historically that proves it. Well, could I give you a few? I'll just name 3 real quick. First, all the disciples that were willing to die for their belief that Jesus actually resurrected. They're willing to die. Do you know that all of them did? Not most of them, not some of them. 11 for 11, all of them. Do you know that Peter was crucified upside down? Do you know that Matthew was burned at the stake? You know that James was thrown off the top of the temple and he didn't die and he survived, and so they beat him until he died? All of them died. Until they did. Now, here's what you need to know, okay? People do not die for things that they know is not true. People don't die for that. Do you think Matthew and his disciples, you know, were burning at the stakes? They were putting pitch on them, you know, tar, you know, it's like lighter fluid all over them, and they know that they buried Jesus in their backyard? You know, and here they are. They're like, oh, shoot, we should call it. We should tell them the truth. And do you think, oh, you know what? We should just go through it because I'm a tenacious guy, and I like to finish projects, you know, so go ahead, burn me. You think they'll say that? Are you kidding me? No. If it wasn't true, they say, stop. But they said, go ahead, burn me. Light that fire, because one day when this body burns, I will come alive again, and I will have a new body because I saw Jesus with his. That's what he's saying. You see, Jesus, all the disciples were willing to die, every single one, because they saw Jesus' body. In fact, the great mathematician Blaise Pascal said, I believe witnesses when their throats are cut. Number 2, some who died while worshiping Jesus were Jesus' actual brothers, his own brothers. Now listen, audience participation, all of our campuses here, okay? Raise your hands if you actually have a brother. Raise your hands real high. Yes, I see. Yes, about 50%. Wow, a lot of you. Raise your hands. Great. Put them down. Now raise your hands. How many of you have written a worship song to your brother? Just raise your hand. Wow. Nobody. Not here. I suspect nobody there. No, this is interesting, okay? Like, let me just ask this. What would your brother have to do to convince you that he is the Son of God? Well, now, bake on that just for a second. I mean, imagine that. What would he have to do to prove that he's the Son of God? I mean, I have a brother. He lives in L.A. He's a great guy. But then imagine he came up to me and said, behold, the Son of God. And I'm like, oh, you're a son of a something. But it ain't a God. You know what I mean? I mean, what would he have to do? But here's the reality, that these men who are brothers of Jesus, his siblings, all were willing to go and die. Why? Because they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, because they saw Jesus rise from the dead. Here's a third thing. That it's a historical fact that there are 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, there are over 500 witnesses, and many of them were still alive while he was writing so that you could verify the claim. Now, this isn't just a fairy tale or some folklore, but imagine this. The proof was recent enough that Paul challenged as he was writing, and the letters were being circulated. He's like, go check. Go verify, because many of them are still alive. Now, if this was a propaganda, if this was a lie, there's no way that you would say such a thing. Why? Because it could easily be detected of the lies, and the lie would be exposed to everybody. So there'd be all these writings all throughout Mesopotamia, all throughout Asia Minor, that Paul was lying, but we don't see that. Why? Because Paul was telling the truth. Paul wrote that for one reason only, because the resurrection is true. And if you believe in the resurrection today, you are not crazy. Some of us for a long time believed in the Big Bang, and we didn't think we were crazy. How nothing, something could come from nothing. I mean, we believe that. And listen, it applies, we could apply less faith believing that a man who was dead, who was God, is risen and he's alive, and that one day he will make us alive too. Amen. Now, that's the fact of the resurrection. Let me get to the point of the resurrection. Luke 24, verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Necessary. In other words, there's no other way that Jesus could save us but for him to go to the cross and to die for us as our sacrifice, because we were to be crucified for our sins. But Jesus lived this perfect life, and he goes to the cross, and on his way he was beaten. He was mocked. He was flogged, he was whipped, his flesh tore all along his back, bloodied, put the crown on the thorns, mocked as liars. He was raised up onto the cross. He was pinned down with nails in his hands and feet. And as he hung there, they bet to see who was going to die first out of the three. And they saw him naked, and they mocked him. They made fun of our Jesus, and they cursed at him. And all the while, he said from the cross, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And at the end, he said, it is finished. It is finished. He said that because he made a full payment of the sin that would require us to be set free. That one day, God was going to treat Jesus as if he had lived our lives, so that now God could treat us as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life. We did not live a perfect life, but now God treats us as one, because he says it is finished. Listen, I don't want any of us to think here that church is all about good people telling bad people to start being good. That's not what church is. In fact, could I tell you this? That we're all bad people, and that there's only one good person, that is Jesus Christ. Do you realize that religion divides the world into two parts, good guys and the bad guys? But Christianity and the gospel divides the world into two. The bad guys and Jesus. That's it. Bad guys and Jesus. Guess where you are? Not Jesus. Maybe my brother, but not Jesus. And the only way anybody can be saved is if you put your faith in Jesus, trusting that somehow when he was crucified, that it counted for you. In fact, he wasn't just crucified for you. Could I tell you he was crucified instead of you? Because you and I should be up there. But listen, the death of Jesus was not the end of Jesus. Jesus' last words on the cross was, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He says, "It is finished." And if he's not finished, then you're not finished. And there is hope for you, whatever you are going through today. And that's why Romans 8:11 says this: if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So this verse is saying that Easter is not just something that you could know mentally, but it's something for you to personally experience today. Because the spirit is in you. That is the resurrection power of God coming into your life and rearranging your priorities, giving you thoughts that you've never had before. When you're looking at an impossible situation today, it's no longer impossible because with Jesus, it is possible. So let me go back to the beginning of this sermon. So I showed you this painting called Checkmate. So you look at this and you see that on the left, you have the devil, and on the right is the dude who represents all of us. And the guy's in despair because he knows that that's it. It's checkmate. He has no other move. And this is why his hands are on his forehead. Like, what am I going to do? It's done. It's over. You know, this painting was actually painted in the 1700s and hung at the Louvre for quite some time. And it's one of the most famous, if not the most famous, museum in all the world. And many tours are there. One time they were having a tour, and in the tour was this grandmaster chess champion. And he was looking at this painting as everybody was admiring it. It's entitled Checkmate. He's staring, and the group eventually moved on with the guide. And he stayed there, staring. The guide comes back, noticing that he's missing, and says, "Hey, we moved on. Would you come?" He's like, "Hold on. Either this painting has to change or the title of this painting has to change." And the guide's like, "What? What are you talking about?" Because he says, "I'm a grandmaster chess champion and I know what I'm doing. And when I look at that board and the pieces, guess what? The king has one more move. The king has one more move. And he's not beat by the devil. He has one more move. He's not done. Listen, brothers and sisters, on the resurrection of Jesus, it is the declaration in the moment of history when everybody thought it was over, that their supposed Messiah hung on the cross and he was dead. It seemed like all hope was lost. No more moves to be made. It was an impossible situation to get out of. Guess what? The king has one more move. One more move. And listen, I'm here to tell somebody today that the king has one more move in your life. And if you're in a spot where you think all hope is lost, that there's no way out, there's nothing to do but to just quit, I want to tell you the king has one more move in your life. He's got one more move in your finances. He's got one more move in your relationships. And most importantly, he has one more move for your sins and your salvation. And everything could be different if you were to offer your life to this king who died for you, who had one more move, and he's inviting you to take it. And that move will bring salvation to you. But listen, you have to trust him. So I want to do something a little uncomfortable here. Probably the most important thing you'll ever do in your entire life. Would you get out the survey again, every single one of us, believers, guests, whoever you are in all of our campuses, just would you get this right now? You see right at the bottom, it says A, B, C, or D. You see, this is what I want you to do. I'm not asking you to make a decision. I'm asking you to simply self-identify. Where are you today? in your relationship with Jesus. That's all I'm asking. Ready? And you are to just mark these, okay? And I want to encourage you to not give the right answer, but just the truthful one. It's safe here to be honestly truthful. First, check A if you think, well, I'm already a Christian. I've been walking with Jesus for a long, long time. I love Jesus. I know the Gospels, and I follow him, and I'm devoted to him. I've given my life to him. I put my faith in him already. If that's you, would you just check A? That's great. So glad that you're here. That's the majority of us. But maybe there's some of us in this room where you're like, man, I've been stuck. And I'm realizing today that maybe I do have one more move, and it's just to put my trust in Jesus. And I want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know a lot about church. Maybe I've been here. I know the game, but I've missed the main thing. So I don't want to miss the main thing. Jesus says at the end of life that many who proclaimed that they knew him and they followed him weren't. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want to be one of those people. So I just want to get the main thing. The main thing is this. I truly believe that he rose again, that his life was handed to the hands of men, and he was crucified, but on the third day he rose. I believe it, and that gives me hope. If that is you, would you just check B? Third, it says, consider it more first. That's C. Man, it's safe at Resonate to belong before you believe. In fact, many people from last Easter decided to continue to come back, and eventually many of them believed. Praise God for that. And maybe you just need more time to consider things. That's great. Would you check C? And for D, that you never have intent in believing. You could check that. You could say, well, I don't ever intend to actually follow Jesus. I'm here because I want to honor my mom. Whatever it is, that's great. Well, just check that. I respect your honesty. So right now, I want to ask you, get your pens out, and would you just answer, where am I in my relationship with Jesus? So this is a moment, real quick. As I've been preaching, maybe, just maybe, there's a sensation in you, inside of you, where you're like, well, this might be the Holy Spirit or indigestion. I don't know. But maybe it's the Holy Spirit. And I feel inspired to believe. I feel inspired to believe that there is hope outside of my situation. It's going to take something else to come into me. And there's a realization in your life, like, I need to be forgiven of my sin, and I want a relationship with him. And so if you check B on your card, realizing that you want to cross the line of faith for the first time, in all of our campuses, in every single one of our campuses, I want to give you a chance to do that. So would you just bow your heads, everybody in this room, in all of our campuses in Oakland, in our beloved campus in Hayward, all online, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads? And if you check B, or if you intend to check B, or you say, man, I think I made a decision today to cross the line, would you pray this with me? Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of your grace. And today, I want to believe that I believe in the resurrection, that you died and that you rose again. And even though I have lots of other questions that are yet to be answered, I don't doubt in your resurrection. And if you are alive, then the King has one more move. Would you apply that move to me? I know that you receive me, and in faith, I put my trust in you. Will you forgive me? Will you receive me? I know you do. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way so that I could be God's son. What grace. And now, as best I know how, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And just keep your eyes closed, head down, in all of our campuses. And I just simply want to ask this. If you check B on your card, I just want to ask you to just boldly, where everybody's hands and eyes are closed, just raise your hand in a count of three. I'm going to give you a count of three. And I ask you to do this because many times when we physically act out what's happening spiritually we solidify the moment. I want this moment to be solidified in you. Would you do it? There's no shame. You never have to be ashamed of following Jesus. In fact, he says in the Gospels, he says, if you will confess before me and before all men about me, then I will stand for you before God and his angels. But if you don't, then I won't. So will you stand for him? Do not be ashamed. Be proud of the fact that you are now a child of God. So in the count of three, ready? One, God loves you. Two, you are here for a purpose. Three, now raise your hand. Anybody, raise your hand real tall. Lock those elbows out. Yes, I see you. Lock those elbows out in all of our campuses. Yes, we praise God for you. We thank God for you. Will you bless them in Jesus' name? And all God's people said, amen. Let's celebrate together the resurrection.